Again, we need to go back to where circumcision was first brought before us in the scriptures. And that helps us to begin to understand why this circumcision was so important. And if we turn to Genesis 17, I'll just read verse 11 and verse 13, just because of make the use of time. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And verse 13, halfway through, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Part of the reason for this circumcision is the fact that now the people of God were on resurrection ground, and that they were there as God's people, and it was a token that these people are now mine, says the Lord. They're my people, separated unto me from all the other nations of the world. These are my people. And this is the covenant that he had made previously. It was a token to them. And because the people of Israel were God's earthly chosen people, it's an earthly, fleshly covenant that was manifested in them that would be different from all of the other nations of the world. And God is saying to them, you are my people. So now as we spiritually apply this to us, okay, we need to understand that we, as a redeemed people on resurrection ground, we are a separated people unto God, separated from all the other nations, from this world, from all other peoples. We're a peculiar people separated unto him.
So we are now moving out of Camp Moab to Camp Gilgal. So I want you to move with me now. We said that the old man could not enjoy or appreciate the blessings. Therefore, God takes care of him in the Jordan. We have heard already, we have died with Christ. The stones are in the bottom of the Jordan, the stone on the other side of the Jordan. Now we have military men going on to enjoy the land. There are two important things, and I want you to jot those down. For any military person, his food and his arms, his weapon. And in chapter 5, you find these things are highlighted. The matter of food, we'll talk about it later on, and the matter of arms, which we see as knives in the beginning of the chapter, and a sword in the end of the chapter. So these are the two things. The new man that is going to war is not just going to say, oh, okay, I died with Christ, now I'm on the other side, and that's all. You need food, and you need arms. Keep that in mind. Two things. You need food, and you need arms. So, if we look in the beginning of the chapter, there's two enemies. The first enemies we read about from verse 1 to verse 1. So, those are the enemies. And I expected now that the Lord will tell Joshua, make you sharp knives, so you could go after those, the kings of the Amorite. Those are the enemies there. They heard, their heart is melted. They're so scared. Make you sharp knives. Now, sharpen you. You know, in the army, they teach you to take care of your gun. Clean it up, make it ready. You know, if you are in a tank, you take care of it. If you are an airplane, you know, a fighter, you take care of it. You check everything. So, make you sharp knives so we are ready to fight the Amorite. Because those are the enemies. But God apparently seeing another enemy. There is another enemy there. The Amorite, I took care of them. Their heart is melted. There is another enemy there that you need to deal with. You need to deal with. And that enemy, young people, is yourself. This enemy is yourself. And you need a very sharp knife. And I'll stop there. Let the brethren carry on.
It's really nice to follow the different apprehensions in this chapter Tony brought before us, and Emil has, verse 1. Verse 1 reminds us of those kings. Their hearts melted within them. They melted because of the wrong reason. They melted because of the children of Israel. They didn't have faith. They only saw what God did. Can I give you another verse that we had the other day? This is from chapter 2, verse 9. This is a woman that God had reached her heart. She doesn't say anything about the children of Israel. Her language is, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. This is what Emil is bringing before us. We have to do with the living God. We're carrying Christ through this world. We're the only Bible many people see. The verse 24 that we didn't spend a bit of time on, I'll just read it, of the previous chapter, that all the people of the earth might know, not the power of Israel, not the strength, no, that they might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. This is where Emil is bringing us to. He is beginning to show them that the greatest enemy they face is themselves. And that when we have dealt with ourselves, when we go back to Gilgal, to the place of self-judgment, in a practical way, we're going to be fitted and suited to meet the enemies of the land. I'm going to tell you something. You follow this chapter when you get home, and you find out that when they didn't go back to Gilgal, they had trouble. They had big trouble over and over and over. So it's so important that the sharp knives were not for the enemies. God would take care of those enemies. The sharp knives were for the people of God. Again, the second time was circumcision.
We have a very important place that we've come to this morning. And again, it's not Grove City. It's Gilgal. We've heard much about it and the significance for us on a daily basis, practically, that we are to basically judge ourselves. But we have an important truth in Colossians chapter 3. Mortify or put to death your members that are on the earth. That's what this is all about. Now, I was at Believer's Bookshelf and I picked up a very interesting booklet, Going to Gilgal Through Death and Deliverance by C.H. McIntosh. I'm not sure how many of you have that. But the interesting thing is, a lot of what's been brought out, not just today but this week, is in this book, the Red Sea, the crossing of the Jordan, the 12 stones, the wrong side of the Jordan, and Gilgal. A lot of it is in this little booklet. And I'd really recommend each one to actually have this or to read it. And so Gilgal, the place of physical circumcision for the children of Israel, is for us, while we don't expect to physically circumcise ourselves, but it's a spiritual meaning, putting to death our members on the earth. Now, it doesn't mean that the flesh disappears from us. It's still there, but we do it on a daily basis, judging ourselves daily. And we see that if we don't do that on a daily basis, we'll fall into real trouble very soon.